Hello there, I'm Dominic Saint-Pierre and you're listening to Go Podcast. So today I will talk about using shim over APIs to prevent breaking changes. Hello Gophers! So we are back and I'm doing a solo episode this week. I wanted to talk about something interesting, but yeah, before we go there, make sure that you are making your updates. So there's some security patches that has been released in the latest Go version. So for 122, there's 122.1, and there's one for 121 as well. So make sure you are updating, because there's some security vulnerabilities that you could prevent by just upgrading, which is always the easiest way to protect yourself. So yeah, I was thinking a little bit lately about services that stop offering their service. I'm not talking about microservices here. I'm talking about maybe it's a software as a service, or maybe it's a public API, whatever. So let me tell you a quick story about Twilio actually did that to me. So Twilio is this telephony service, but at the company, I was using their fax service at some point to send and receive faxes for a credit bureau, and as you might imagine, there was a lot of faxes. So you don't talk to bank via API. even in these days, you talk to bank with faxes back and forth. So that's the way to go. And at some point, I mean, they sent you, Twilio send an email to all their fax customers and says something like, well, you know what, we are not going to provide this service anymore. So thank you and sorry, and please have a look at this other company where you should be able to continue, doing your fax services. The problem with that is, while it's true that the other company is offering globally the same service, their API is not the same at all. So you still have some rewrites to do. And usually when you are outsourcing something to a third party API, you kind of hope that this is in the pocket for a long time, and you don't really want to touch that part as often as internal stuff, for example, and things that that matters more for the company that you are working with. So I mean, it's always a sad part. And I was starting to think that even when we are doing some kind of rewrite internally, or there's a huge breaking change that is coming up, how much the dependent service needs to rewrite themselves, just to continue to be compatible. So I was starting to think a little bit, would it not be nice if when we are doing some kind of breaking change, there could be a long period of time where the old API will still continue to work, just by wrapping the new one. And at some point, I mean, the team could have, I don't know, maybe there should be some kind of deadline for that, because otherwise nobody will ever connect to the new API and change and implement the breaking change and whatnot. But the point is, if the team that is going to break something, because sometimes you still need to break something, and there will be breaking changes all over the place. It's the nature of things. But maybe it could be the responsibility for that team to provide some kind of shim on top of the new API. So they could just have an extra level that continue to offer the same contract as the previous one. And internally, that shim is calling the new API by doing, you know, it could do a lot of things. Could change the data type and back and forth and things like that to honor the new API. But the point is, I mean, from an external point of view, and it's true as well for my situation. So if Twilio would have, you know, built something to wrap the API of the competitor that they were, you know, supposedly sending all their customers to, would have been a superb customer experience, in my opinion. So I understand that they would have needed to invest some time themselves, but at the end of the day, they are closing their services. I mean, it's just a little bit less crude than just telling people, well, you know what, you will need to rewrite this part of your application, and you will need now to. So even though this rewrite is kind of inevitable, just having a temporary shim, or at least, you know, it could have been the third party, the third party as well, the competitor that says to themselves, well, you know what, Twilio will send us, I don't know, tens of thousands of customers all at once. You know what? It could be nice if we would have a shim on top of our current current API that would, you know, replicate exactly the API of Twilio in that case. And now, you know, all of their customers would just, you know, it would be a super no-brainer to switch there. Nobody would have even think 1 minute about doing that or not. Could have been way quicker than having to have all the teams inside all of the Twilio customers to do their rewrite. So I mean, there were a crazy business opportunity in here, but I think it's the same when we think about internal internal services inside companies. So either the team that is responsible for this big breaking changes offer a shim on top of their API, or you know, some other team in the company could build that, and now they could share that, and just like that, then yes, you know, it's still like I understand that it's probably a technical debt to have this kind of shim being called. But sometimes, I mean, responding to breaking changes is not really high in priority for a business in terms of, and especially for smaller businesses. You know, I'm coming from a more of a startup world where, yeah, unfortunately, the first priority is not always the technical debt, I would say. So, I mean, you still need to pay your, I don't know, your 5 or 10 employees on the next month, and if you need to and introduce a huge breaking changes like that, and you know, lots of small pieces needs to change, and you are stopping all the development for, I don't know, 2, 3, 6 months, whatever, you know, that could really hurt the business and the employees. So this is not the same reality in bigger organization. I understand that, you know, when a breaking change, you know, when some breaking changes, major breaking changes occur, you know, they have probably the budget and the time to do that. But I think having a shim like that could be just the answer for most of the situation. You know, we see that a lot in the client side world where, you know, at some point some functionalities were not really handled by all the browsers, And you know, there were like shim like that was built to I don't know, you know, to just mimic or replicate what the browser would have done if it would have supported that API, for example. So I again, it seems to be very simple, and probably, you know, maybe people are already all doing that. I don't know. I haven't seen that a lot, and to be frank, this Twilio thing happened to me in I think it was 2021 or something like that. So I mean, it's still very recent, and you know, none of the party suggested that. So I mean, again, I could not stop to believe that if the competitor that Twilio was sending all the customers would have done that, it would have been just great and easy. Imagine how much love they would have get day one from all the Twilio customer. Now you are told, well, in 6 months you will not be able to use the Twilio API for faxes, but we have this third party company that is ready to take your load for and you don't need to change anything in your system. I mean, this is just high class, I would say. And this is, you know, this is the kind of developer experience that, or I would say like engineering experience that we are kind of expecting these days from companies that make money from, by selling their API or internally as well. So if you are responsible for some kind of API internally, then, I mean, it's kind of your job to make the engineering process just smooth and interesting. And when you think about that, how much time would it take to write a shim on top of an API that will get discarded? I mean, in the case of Twilio, I would dare say that there were no more than five or six endpoint function and things like that. It's all about the data usually, so it's not really the time to point some kind of client to a new URL and call a different route and whatnot. It's not that. So sometimes it's just all the data structure difference from one version to the other that is mostly longer to do that, and it could be internal in the code as well. So it could be if we think about Go, for example, so maybe you had modeled the old API with some Go structure, and now the shim could be just to have a temporary structure that would accept the new format, and now you just have some kind of converter to take the old structure and model it to the new one. So again, it could be done as well internally, and this could be a library that is part of the client if there is such a thing. So if there is a client or across the company that is built to call this API, well, the shim could be directly there. So it's not, required to have that on the server itself. It could be on the client as well. It's totally fine. I mean, it's probably better that way, in fact. But you know, sometimes there's multiple teams with multiple languages, so now all the clients should have that. So I mean, it depends. It's something that is debatable. The fact is that if we start to think about breaking changes like that, where there is a period of time where we will have both version running together, because the old API, the old server, the thing that has the breaking changes, should be taken down. But again, yes, there is some way to run both in parallel, and that could be very elegant for all the teams. And at some point, I mean, it's part of the I don't know. I mean, it's part of the backlog, and would it get fixed at some point? Well, I don't know. Maybe not. But yeah, I can see some problem about that, where now a shim is built for another shim, and now it's just multiple layers of transforming the data to prevent breaking change. I don't know. It's a double-edged sword, for instance. But I don't know. In terms of external services, so if your company is providing an external services, so instead of just having a V2 for your API that introduced some breaking changes, could be nice to at least investigate the fact of having some kind of converter from the V1 to the V2, so your the client of your API does not need to always rewrite their client themselves. You know, companies, we all have other things to do, especially in the startup world. And yes, I mean, this is not cool when things like that happen. So I mean, it's a quick thought. I don't know if it makes any sense. If it makes you maybe you have some experiences that is similar to that, and maybe you already implemented that. I haven't seen that very often, to be frank, and I don't really know why. Because I mean I don't know, on paper and on this 15 minutes rambling or podcast, I mean, it seems to be interesting, but yes, it comes with some disadvantages, like everything. So again, that's it for this week. It was a quick episode. We will have a guest next week, and on that, wish you good coding and have fun. I mean, this is something we should always remember ourselves. We are doing that, mostly because it's probably the best job in the world. So keep at it, and have a great week.